Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Yesterday provided another reason, for me at least, that college football is just the best thing going when it comes to sports. Chuck Oliver Show on a Thursday. When I say best thing going when it comes to sports, I would expand that. I would say sports, recreation, leisure, a pursuit outside of your profession. And the cool part is I make my living in college football. And there's an old adage that if you really want to hate something, do it for a living. And I've never really had that happen. I grew up, I was a big Elvis fan, and then I decided I was going to write a book, and it's out there. You can go Amazon, Chuck Oliver, On the Throne with the King, and I think it's a really funny book, but it's out there. Anyway, go get you a copy. It's funny. I was a big Elvis fan, and I got to tell you, then I spent about 5.5 months researching and writing a book. I was kind of good with Elvis for a while after that. Never has happened with me in college football, though. And then I say, yeah, well, last night, I don't even know when it was live. I just know when I was watching it. We were provided another reason, like I said, at least I was, while college football is one just the best thing going when it comes to sports or recreation or whatever. Because there is a sadness, and I mean that, one of the toughest parts of virtually every other sport, and certainly on the pro level, that college football is virtually immune from. You know what we saw last night in the world of women's tennis? We might have just watched the parade move on. And it's never fun. Serena got her backside destroyed last night. Who's that girl? Naomi Osaka?
Correct.
Woo! You know what it looked like? Looked like Serena about 15 or 20 years ago. Here is the shortest list in any endeavor. Does not matter what it is. A person who has achieved virtually anything there was to achieve. Now, not everything, because you know what? If I say that person achieved everything there was, you know what everything is? Everything is a preconceived mental list we have of what is normal to achieve in that sport or that art or business or whatever. So it's not everything. Shortest list in any field. A person who achieved virtually anything that there was to achieve. Because that means the individual pushed walls and that kind of stuff, sort of redefined what we thought was achievable. Y'all know Steve Martin, who originally a comedy writer and then a stand-up comedian and then an actor, and he's done so many things. Brilliant guy. You know one thing a lot of people don't know about Steve Martin? They think, oh, that was just part of his comedy act. No. There's a good chance that for about, 40 years, Steve Martin was the greatest banjo player on earth. And he used to play it in his musical act, back when he would wear the white suit and all that. But what people did, it wasn't just him up there being funny. And he made a statement, and this might have been, 10, 12 years ago. Steve Martin said, now think about what I just said with Serena. Steve Martin was asked about something about the banjo, and he was like, I've put the banjo down. And the interviewer is like, well, what do you mean? Why? Quote, there's nothing left for me to do with it. Now, can you imagine a musical instrument? And an individual says, I have put it down because anything there is to do with this, I've already done it. I've realized now there's nothing left. It's like I got to the end of the internet. It just doesn't happen. Well, Steve Martin was like, I got there. If you don't know about this, go like YouTube Steve Martin, and I think it was with Lester Flatt and Earl, the breakdown, was it Soggy Mountain Breakdown or Foggy Mountain Breakdown? My gosh, he takes over. It is a stage full of world-class musicians. Steve Martin takes over. Like, he's got Hall of Fame musicians looking at him going, yeah, I can't do that. He's the guy that tells jokes, all right? That was Serena. And after last night, that is over, guys. We see the greatest ever get pushed around. And then what happened last night? We see the greatest ever ultimately dismissed in competition. Sugar Ray Leonard, maybe as great a like middleweight or whatever, you know, where he competed as anybody. There was a decent enough fighter named Terry Norris. And about 25 years ago, I'll leave it to y'all. Go Wikipedia Terry Norris and Sugar Ray Leonard. It looked like an autopsy on someone who wasn't dead yet. So that was Sugar Ray Leonard. Help me. But do you remember the playoffs? Was it maybe 4 years ago? San Antonio was playing OKC, and Tim Duncan in an elimination game was going up for a dunk, and I think it was a guy like Serge Ibaka was like, get out of here, old man, and didn't block the ball. He blocked Tim Duncan to the floor. And I was like, Jack Nicklaus may have said it best. Jack Nicklaus, he announced he wasn't even going to like tee off first and all that in Augusta like they let the previous champions or whatever. Quote from Jack Nicklaus, at some point, you just turn into the old guy that's in everybody's way. That's Jack Nicklaus. More majors than he's like, I'm not Jack Nicklaus who is, he's like, I'm an old guy who's in everybody's way now. Serena last night, she got flicked away as if she were a fly on the lunch table, and Serena redefined what was possible in that sport. So the best thing about college football, it is built in that we never have to see that. The players move on before that ever happens. In virtually every case, the coach moves on before that were to happen. In cases like Bobby Bowden, at least you got Jimbo Fisher standing right next to him. One of the toughest things to watch in sports, in college football, we are virtually insulated from it.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today. It's time for The Game Plan with College Football Hall of Famer Joe Hamilton.
Touchdown, Georgia Tech! Nobody throws a fade better than Joe Hamilton.
Presented by Low T Nation. Get your game plan ready for optimized health at LowTNation.com.
Everything that man just said is true. It is Thursday on the Chuck Oliver Show, and of course, all across the network, my close personal friend, College Football Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champion. Man, he's got a ring. It looks like an ashtray on his finger. It is Joe Hamilton. Joe, how are you, brother?
I'm doing outstanding, Chuck. How are you?
I'm blessed as always. Let's I want to do a little recap because we talked with you. I think it was two Thursdays back. We talked with you about showing up in Mobile or East-West Shrine Game or Hawaii, you know, Hula Bowl, whatever one you're going to, and working with, you know, teammates that never been your teammates and all that. When the Senior Bowl or your All-Star game is concluded, you're in draft mode. You're in, like, drill-specific training. You're in whatever. Walk us through that. Walk through, like, literally off the field from the bowl game. How does it come in, invitations to All-Star games, agents saying, hey, could I have a second of your time? Just talk us through literally from all zeros January 1st to draft night. What happens? What's a guy going through?
Well, first and foremost, you want to assess your body. How healthy am I? Can I afford to take 2 weeks off? Because really nobody's taking those times off and you are being a professional now. So you immediately go to, who is my agent? And not a brand new agent, but because now you are recruiting them. It goes back to you choosing a college now. When I had to choose an agent, I had to scout. I had to ask them questions. I had to look and see who they have signed, who they were successful with.
Did you talk to people like maybe Keith Brooking or someone who had just left the program?
I talked to Keith Brooking a lot. And a lot of those guys gave me feedback that don't hire an agent right now. They really can't do anything for you as far as getting drafted.
Yeah.
So immediately after that, Chuck, what you want to do is, where am I going to work out at? Am I going to work out back at my college? Am I going to work out in the weight room? Because most strength and conditioning coaches in your college allow you to stay on campus and work out if you want to. A lot of people like to go to California or go to, you know, Florida to work out with
the
other
IG,
pros.
Yeah.
Yeah, the IG program with other pros. Immediately, no matter what position, I was a quarterback, immediately you want to get that route tree. You want to get an NFL route tree. You want to start throwing the 15 to 18-yard comebacks. You want to start throwing the deep digs. You want to get ready for combine-specific drills, three-cone shuttle, broad jump, 40-yard dash, footwork. And one other thing that I had to do is...
Hang on, I want to say, that's why you see, like, offensive linemen, you know, dragging tires and parachutes and all that, because they're trying to go from whatever, I don't know, 5'2 to a 5.05 or something like that. And you're like, why is that guy trying to sprint? You're just trying to improve whatever numbers. And that's why I said drill specific training. You're bad at or need some, you know, rounding off on.
And that's another great point right there, Chuck, because you want to find out from your agent or you want to find out from scouts or somebody what they are seeing your weaknesses are. Maybe it's arm strength. So all the way up until that draft, till your pro day comes or the combine, you're going to be working specifically on improving your arm strength. If they said as a quarterback, you need to improve your three-step drop, get rid of the hitch or the glitch in your throwing motion, you want to be working on those things to make sure that those weaknesses don't show back up. In my statue, or in my case, I couldn't grow any further. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to get any taller, so I had to make sure that I could run fast. I had to make sure that when I got on that chalkboard that I can break down defensive coverages. And that defensive coverages in college, you're immediately going to start watching football, pro football film after your bowl game.
All right, so talk about – and I'm not after any of the salacious stuff. Not everybody, not players or agents, not everybody waits until the bowl game's over. We all know that stuff. We all live in the adult world. So I'm just saying, how do you go about when the contact starts coming in? Because if you're a ball player who is considered in any way draftable, you don't have to go looking for agents.
No.
Like you get, it's like shells in Florida. You got to get out of the way of them.
Well, and then you're going to have to check some integrity. Right out of college, everybody wants money. But when you all of a sudden get an advance from an agent and they say, you don't have to pay me back, you get an advance for the agent and they get you a new Cadillac truck or a brand new Benz, be a little wary of that. If they say that they can get you drafted, understand that that's the untruth. I've never seen an agent get anybody drafted. An agent can sign your contract once you're in the league, but how do you look, or how do you think an agent is going to look going to a GM or a scout saying, draft my guy?
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
All right. Now, I'm only going to tell one name here. Do you know Brian Dawkins at all?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Outstanding gentleman.
You ain't lying. And so I'm just going to say the individual who was his roommate at the Senior Bowl says, I was hustling out of the bathroom, getting dressed, heading out to some nightlife one night, the week in Mobile, and I saw Brian over on the bed, like you know, we're looking through something. And I was like, what, playbook? And he said, Bible first, said then the playbook. And he's like, well, I'm going out. You coming with us? He's like, Bible first, then playbook. He's like, we're here to work. Is that the Brian Dawkins you know a little bit?
That is the Brian Dawkins, Hall of Fame Brian Dawkins.
Absolutely.
Now.
Okay.
That's why you know hard work paid off.
It's the roommate who was telling me the story. And he says, it's like 5 years later, I used to think back, maybe I should have listened to Brian. That's your first chance. That's your week-long interview. That's, you know, the first, you really got to take it seriously at that point.
Yeah, and, you know, now it's going to be a little difficult for the scouts and the general managers to really get in the head of players now with you not really having a pro day, you not really having a combine. And I just want to bring up one person now, goes to along with what you're saying, Isaiah Wilson. Isaiah Wilson all of a sudden got to the pros and he forgot what got him there. And you didn't get in touch with your general manager.
Damn.
You didn't get in touch with your coach. You had COVID problems, immature. And now you got one last demand that you better get your stuff right or you're going to be out of here. So now immediately after your bowl game, whether it's the Hula Bowl or the Senior Bowl, you're going to have to see that I'm a professional now. I have work to be done and I'm very expendable.
And you got two choices because not everybody gets a combine invite. Not everybody gets an all-star game invite, but not everybody gets a combine invite. Everybody can be at a pro day because even if I've seen cases, and by the way, I love when programs and coaches do this, even where you have had to dismiss a kid and he goes from like, I'm going to just pick like Florida State to Bethune-Cookman, the NFL is not, was that Daytona Beach? Is that Bethune-Cookman, I think?
Yes.
They ain't going to Bethune-Cookman if Bethune-Cookman has a pro day. So you got to glom on with somebody else. They'll say, come on back home. He says, for pro day, you can come work out with us. So it won't just be Florida State, for instance. It might be like 15 Florida State players, and then like a scattered 10 or 12 from other places.
And that's another advice I would give to somebody during this pandemic and this year is for you to go to a different pro day. Because when you had the combine, and that's why I always agreed with quarterbacks throwing at the combine, because now you got two shots.
Yeah.
Whatever you did wrong, maybe you missed some comebacks, or maybe your footwork wasn't quite as well. You got another shot at your pro day to improve on the things that you weren't good at the combine.
Yeah, let's be honest. I mean, the phrase that I've always heard, and I never played in the NFL, for gosh sakes, but the phrase I always heard was, if you can go. In the NFL, if you can go, they'll put up with a lot.
Yes.
Like, I remember Cam going up there and being evasive with his questions in the interview, and he was shooting chili peppers all over that turf. I mean, just way off target. And I remember the story, Ryan Mallett. Oh, my gosh, how good does he come draft day? It was like first overall and like fifth round.
Right.
I mean, it always comes down to talent. If you can play, that's what the league ultimately is about.
If you can play in, if one guy, see, you've heard it time and time again, it only takes one team to fall in love. One. Not 32, just one.
And you know, I'm going to give you an example, and it is, you know, post all of these events and all that, and so it's not just trying to make something fit. We talked about this on the air. Do you recall, by chance, the Reuben Foster thing at the Combine in the hospital where he started yelling at the employees?
Absolutely.
I got told off the air, you should take him off your draft list. And I was like, I ain't got a draft list. And he's saying, no, I'm talking NFL teams. He says he's not going to last. He's like, he may be one of the five most talented kids in the entire draft. And he's like, literally just hefty bags full of cash, just threw it off a bridge. And you know, you have a kid like that who doesn't understand the gravity. Now, you hear about what, like ninth grade, your permanent record?
Yep.
Reuben Foster, that's your permanent record, son.
And more and more now in this day and age, the scouts, when they first see that now, they're gonna say, we can't do it. We can't touch it because they're gonna end up like Reuben Foster. Is he still in the lead? Is he at the Washington football team? Long gone. Talented, but long gone.
A first-round pick that was on his second team by, I think, his
third year,
yes. And then he doesn't play anymore. And that was, again, a guy described as maybe a top five or top ten talent in the entire league. Brought to you by Low T Nation every single Thursday. I love the conversation because this is a man who has absolutely done it on every level, whether it's college player, getting ready for the draft, NFL, all that stuff. Joe Hamm, love you right there.
Appreciate it, my brother.
All right. Chuck Oliver Show continues on a Thursday. Going to continue, just take a little bit of a break right here. Going to come back with more college football conversation. That's next all across the network.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. 2 hours a day. Been doing this since the beginning of the 2014 season. Deal it out across 9 states, 51 sticks every day. So I appreciate y'all putting that blessing in my life. Our next guest, we've had him on several times before, and I will say that his employer never gets cheated. Whatever it is they're paying him on the 15th and 30th, he certainly is putting in the effort. Want to welcome on now Director of Football Recruiting for SI. It is John Garcia, Jr. John, welcome back. Amigo, how are you?
I'm doing well. Good to be back on with you.
Yeah, I appreciate your time today. And, you know, normally when we have, you know, you or somebody else on, it's always about, all right, this unsigned guy, where is he leaning? Well, there hadn't been a high school kid worth talking about, even like maybe even signing day, except for a couple of exceptions. I want to talk about the rules and the calendar because we have seen the announcement. The dead period has been extended again. Give us those details, what all that entails, but then also what does it mean for college programs and coaches trying to continue to recruit in this environment?
Yeah, so basically the NCAA recruiting dead period, which is basically insurance of any in-person recruiting contact, whether that's a school or a coach visiting a school, prospect visiting a school, a coach visiting a home, anything in person that you would normally see on the recruiting trail, evaluations, anything like that, completely wiped out. It has been in place for, we're going on a calendar year now. It was already in place through tax day, April 15th, and just yesterday got extended through the end of May, which wipes out another entire spring evaluation period. So basically, these upcoming seniors, class of 2022, have had it even worse than this class of 2021. They're losing all of their upperclassmen spring and off-season recruiting activities in terms of in-person of any kind with colleges. So you just feel for those kids. And as everyone else has said, this is the NCAA just kicking the can down the road again, pushing things back. And I think it's setting a precedent where spring football as a whole is going to be in question, it feels like, forever.
Continuing with John Garcia, Jr., I know that because he got a blue check. You can follow him on Twitter at @John_Garcia_Jr. I was having an interesting conversation with a buddy of mine that covers Mississippi State, and he said that if you think that they did an okay job either in recruiting or especially Lane Kiffin during the season, he says, remember that both of those guys, a lot of their recruiting value is the in-person, the handshake, the conversation, you know, their personalities. He said, both those programs survived by and large in weird recruiting environments like this without being able to use their main asset. Talk about those programs in particular, State and Ole Miss, and what this means to coaches like Leach and Lane Kiffin.
Well, certainly, you know, we've always talked about how important perception is in the recruiting game, right? These are impressionable teenagers. A lot of these families have never gone through anything like a traditional Division I or FBS recruiting process. So that perception is really always carried a ton of weight, and now it carries that much more because you don't have those in-person, you know, connections. So whether you go, you know, full digital route where everyone is on Zoom and FaceTime and all of that, or you go off of, you know, your first impression is really what you already know about school X or coach X. And for those guys, it's pretty positive. You know, it's certainly outside the box, exciting, you know, never lacking of big moments. So I think that helps with getting a foot in the door. And obviously you throw in that they're in the SEC and the West in particular. And I think that there's some snowball effect there that could be positive for those, let's call them second tier programs. You know, basically anyone outside of the true blue bloods that are looking to gain some ground on that group here going forward. So yeah, a lot of it is in person. You know, I've talked to a ton of quarterbacks and parents who've been around Lane Kiffin, and they said, man, there is a charisma with this guy. It's really unexplainable that when you sit down with him, something different happens. And this is moms, dads, brothers, sisters, girlfriends, et cetera, that really point to something like that. So I think that's a really important aspect of this process. And really for a parent, my goodness, it's the reassurance that hey, if my son goes to your school, everything's going to be okay, which at the end of the day is really the main thing parents want to know. So doing that in person just creates so much ease and peace of mind compared to doing it digitally. But again, a sign of the times, but programs like that have to be creative. You know, you use that digital footprint more. You use your content staff, your creative graphic design staff, support staff. Now they're going to relax the rules a little bit with those groups and allow you to actually engage with recruits a little bit more than you could previously, because these coaches can't be out on the trail recruiting in person. So there are some benefits and ways you could sort of work around it, but I don't think anything would replace that in-person connection.
Two more questions with John Garcia Jr. from Sports Illustrated. First one, and I want to, you know, like the simple version is, hey, John, why do quarterbacks, like elite, four-star, five-star quarterbacks keep going to Georgia? That's not really the question, because that could be, well, they have great receivers and facilities, and they have all the things that every elite school has to get a four-star, five-star quarterback. What I really want to know is, what is Kirby's pitch or approach or strategy? Like, what is it that keeps convincing four-star and five-star quarterbacks to enter that program? Because, honestly, the quarterback play ain't been that great.
And that's, you know, I always say, you always have a selling point, whether you're the worst program, the best program, anywhere in between. And look, for Georgia, it's quite simple. It's like, hey, we have everything but this. So in other words, we have everything but you. You can be the guy that takes us over the top. And you know, Kirby, to his credit, has obviously accumulated unbelievable quarterback talent. I would say better really than anybody in the last, maybe Dabo Swinney has a conversation there, Nick Saban. But really, just in terms of high school reputation, I think Kirby's done as good or a better job of a talent acquisition and accumulation as anybody. And he has shown, whether it's the right decision or not, the best guy in his mind is going to play. And you know, he didn't care about the politics and all of that. I mean, he's played guys that have come out of nowhere, right? Stetson Bennett, et cetera. So I think those things can sell on the trail in that, yes, I want to be the quarterback who gets Georgia over the hump. But also, hey, if nobody else thinks I'm that guy, here I can go and have a chance to still get that first snap of game one, because we've seen that unconventional path at Georgia as well. I would say with Fromm and Stetson Bennett over the last 5 years or so. So I think there's a sell either way there with quarterbacks. And look, the offense is trying to evolve and spread out and open up just a little bit under Todd Monken. We saw some big-time flashes in the back half of 2020 with JT Daniels, and the expectations are going to be really high once again in Athens. So they'll have more to sell at that position. But I think what really benefits Kirby more than anything is Georgia's kind of become the quarterback state. You know, you look at the draft this year, it's going to be a whole lot of Georgia natives going really high in the draft. And every single cycle, there's that potential five-star All-American SI-99 quarterback sitting right somewhere within an hour of the Atlanta area. So all those things really benefit Georgia, and Kirby's certainly taking advantage.
Last question with John Garcia Jr. from Sports Illustrated. John, I'm going to go to the flip side. And I asked myself this a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, yeah, I don't have an answer. Not even legacies. Why do offensive linemen legitimately, like committable, offered by Alabama, go somewhere else?
Well,
like Brockermeyer, because you know Brockermeyer is like a three-time legacy or whatever. He's like, screw that, I'm going to Bama.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, on the front end of why do they go there, I think the proof is in what they've done. I think you've seen linemen at Alabama play multiple positions with success They win all the awards out there. Joe Moore Award, I think this is the second time. All the individual awards, certainly, as well. But I think most importantly, at any position, you're seeing NFL production. And I think that's the biggest difference from 10, 5 years ago is kids want to play on Sundays. And at a place like Alabama, we've seen, you know, prospects play one good year there and get picked pretty darn high. I mean, look what Mac Jones is about to do at the quarterback.
Quinnen Williams.
But, yeah, exactly. We've seen that all over the place at Alabama, including up front. You know, Landon Dickerson's going to, you know, if he was healthy, you know, he would have had his stock higher than maybe any other center type out there after really one really yeah. good year at Alabama. So I think the opportunity there and the limited amount of time that you can thrive with a good opportunity is part of the reason why they keep recruiting so darn well. And on the flip side, there's a certain character of prospect that doesn't want to deal with that because there is so much competition. You know, everybody saw the leaked Nick Saban video, right? I mean, he's like, look, yeah. our practices are harder than the games. And some kids, that's going to be a red flag. Like, hey, maybe I don't need that now. Maybe I'm more of a developmental prospect. And look, on the offensive line, I mean, development is really everything. Everybody's got the frame, but you need to develop at that position. It's really hard for a true freshman to come in and put in major work there compared to, you know, wide receiver, running back, some of the other positions we've seen freshmen really thrive at the collegiate level.
Yeah, you know, it was reminiscent back in the day with Pete Carroll at, you know, Southern Cal, that you'd have like a, you know, a two-year starter coming back for his senior year at safety, and Carroll's like, yeah, that 18-year-old, he's better, so he's going to play. Sorry. And that's just exactly. That's just what it turns into. John, when you demand a raise, you put me down as a reference, man. You are just really outstanding. Always appreciate your time, okay?
You got to appreciate the kind words, my friend. Take care.
All right, John Garcia Jr. again from Sports Illustrated.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
And then a weird thing happened following signing day. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Thursday. That weird thing that happened following signing day was kids stopped jumping in the portal. By and large, over the last, I'll say, couple weeks, way less activity in the transfer portal. And if there is any program, certainly in the Southeastern Conference, that is like, all right, works for us, that would be the Tennessee Vols. It looked like a graduation procession at one point. They had not just four players in the same day. It might have been four of the, I don't know, seven or eight best remaining players on the roster who jumped in the portal that same day. And that was when Henry To'oto'o, et cetera, decided they were going to leave, but that all has slowed down. In fact, I don't know if this has been resolved yet, and if I missed it, I apologize. But there's a chance that Crouch, the linebacker, says, from what I've heard, he may hang around. I know somebody who we could turn to and get authoritative info from GoVols247.com. Always love having him on. Appreciate the time. Ryan Callahan, welcome back, brother. How are you today?
Hey, thanks for having me. Doing well.
Am I correct about the linebacker, Crouch? Is he hanging around, giving the new staff a chance? I've been looking for any sort of good news for two programs, Florida State and Tennessee, because it's just a better season when they compete. So what about Crouch?
Yeah, that seems to be the case right now. He is back on campus and has been working out with the team during winter workouts. So it looks like any final decision there at least has been pushed back until the end of the spring, probably. So it sounds like he'll at least go through spring practice, see how things go with the new staff. And if he still feels the, you know, some desire to leave, he could always do it after the spring semester. But that's probably a best-case scenario for Tennessee with some of these guys. Let them stick around, see if they like the feel of it with the new staff, and if they don't, they can always move on later. And I think it's still possible you could see some additional movement after the spring. Obviously, there could be some guys who see they don't fit in this system. That always happens, so we'll see. But for now, they've kind of maybe at least delayed any possible bad news there with Crouch, and that's a good thing.
All right, I'm going to try to get this line of events correct. Big Cat Bryant's high school coach is hired. Big Cat Bryant announces transferring. His high school coach is fired, and Big Cat just sort of goes underground. Is there any expectation at this point that he joins the program? Does the Rodney Gardner hiring change anything?
I think the Gardner hiring makes it at least maybe an outside possibility still. Before that, it sounded pretty unlikely that he was going to end up at Tennessee. But as you said, he's kind of gone underground. There's really not been any update on his end. There was some talk because Oklahoma was adding seemingly everybody else that was Tennessee related in the transfer portal. There was some talk of Oklahoma being a factor there. And then it sounds like he's kind of put everything off. And since the spring semester started, he may wait till after the spring at this point. But yeah, Oklahoma could go back to Auburn. I've heard it at times being a possibility. So still a few options there on the table, and we'll have to wait and see how that goes. But he's been quiet, so hard to read that one.
Any update with Dylan Brooks? I mean, he's signed and all, but he has not delivered. And obviously the connection with Jeremy Pruitt, and that was the big reason he committed and actually signed. But what is the latest with him?
Yeah, still sounds like he wants out. We saw yesterday Cody Brown, the four-star running back from there in the Atlanta area, got out of his letter of intent on Tuesday. That was kind of expected. It seems like things are headed that way with Dylan Brooks, too, and it has been the case for about the past month now. The holdup there has been Tennessee wants to get its entire new staff on board and let him meet those guys, at least talk to them, and have some conversation to see if that's really what he wants to do. I don't think it's going to change his mind at this point, but they want to at least make him give them a fair chance before he gets his release. But I think he's going to get his release, and frankly, I think he's going to end up at Auburn in the end.
All right, we'll flip it around then, because Hendon Hooker, a guy who has played college football at a good Power 5 program and succeeded individually. He's like, yep, give me, can't wait, give me all you can. He reaffirmed his commitment to the program. I don't know if there's a quarterback room in Division I football that will look more different this spring and or August than what it would have looked like last spring if it existed.
Yeah, it's a very different group. Just adding Hendon Hooker, and he's already on campus. He'll get to go through spring practice. And Caden Salter, a top 50 prospect nationally from Texas, that the old staff was pretty excited about. I think he's going to be a good fit for Josh Heupel's system too. Both of those guys get to go through spring practice, so it's going to be a fun competition. I wish we'd get to see it in person. We probably won't because of COVID, but we'll at least get to see some highlights of it. But it's going to be a fun battle, I think. And Harrison Bailey obviously still in the mix there. And Brian Maurer, an interesting wrinkle to this, a guy who's kind of the forgotten guy in that competition, was recruited pretty heavily by Josh Heupel's staff at UCF. Now, they were competing at a different level then, so that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to love him now, but interesting. So all four of those guys at least have go in feeling like they have a shot, and it's going to be a wide-open battle, and there are different reasons to think any of them could win it. So I would lean toward Hooker maybe being the ever-so-slight favorite with his experience, as you said, but I certainly could see Salter or anybody else still claiming that job.
Wrapping up, Ryan Callahan from 24/7 Sports. Go Vols, 24/7 Sports. It's at Ryan Callahan 247. Easy enough on Twitter. As far as the recruiting class, I mean, everybody wants to hold back. It was, you know, in recent years, like, I want to hold back one scholarship for a possible transfer. Now it's like, yeah, we're holding back like five. What is Tennessee's situation? Because at this point, I mean, there's no high school kids that anybody's going after anymore. There's not even like a Zach Evans hanging out there till May. This is all transfers.
Yeah, well, I say that I would agree with the asterisk that there is a junior college season being played this spring in most states that have JUCO
football. Correct.
And there's still some high schools competing this spring because North Carolina, Virginia, some states like that didn't play in the fall and are playing this spring in some cases like North Carolina. So maybe some guys emerge this year where you could have some late options that wouldn't normally be out there because they haven't played a senior season yet. But otherwise, you're right. They've got some transfer options to explore. Tennessee does have at least two spots left. And anybody that gets out of a letter of intent like Cody Brown, that essentially opens another spot. They can still use that in a way if they want to. So it looks like Tennessee has at least two, maybe more than that, spots to at least consider filling with transfers. And that gives them some flexibility this spring to see what's out there and fill some needs. And they've got a bunch.
Last thing for you, Ryan, and this is sort of theoretical a little bit. It's about scholarship numbers and the ability that if any program had seniors who should have been departing but want to take advantage of the extra year, those guys don't count. Those guys don't count. And I remember when the Tennessee, just that flood of kids leaving the roster, I was like, they could have every senior come back, and Tennessee's not going to be able to take advantage of this sort of, like, I mean, honestly, an opportunity to have 93, 94 kids on scholarship in a year, that's huge. In Tennessee, I was like, I don't know that they'll get to 85. Was that an overreaction on my part, or is Tennessee literally going to be, are they going to be playing the season in high 70s maybe?
No, I think that was not an overreaction. Unless some of these guys who look like they're leaving in the transfer portal, like Henry Toto, and it looks like he's not coming back, but he hasn't made a final decision. Unless something changes with guys like that, they're probably not going to be at 85 scholarship players. I don't know that it'll be in the 70s. They could get into the 80s. But, yeah, like to your point, it's not going to be 90 or 95. It's going to be more like 80 to 85, somewhere in that range probably. So unfortunate for Tennessee that this happened this year, because you're right. Everybody's got some free depth this year, and they won't have that luxury.
All right, Ryan. Now, I told the truth. I said last question for Ryan Callahan for 24/7 Sports. I want to ask, did you grow up a Tennessee fan, or did you go there?
I'm a Tennessee graduate. Yep, I grew up in the state and following plenty of Tennessee football, so I've seen it for years.
Outstanding. Because I want to ask you. I thought that was true. I wanted to ask you a question as Ryan, the Tennessee grad fan. You know, whatever. Because I talk about. I graduated from Auburn. I talk about myself as a fan all the time. Where are you? Because it's been like 15 years since Tennessee was Tennessee, and what I continuously get from Vols fans, grads, whatever, is you have to remind yourself of what the stadium used to look like. And I was like, that's even tough for me to imagine, because I've only been there when it's 100,000 and rocking, and I realize, yeah, I've been to like one game in the past decade at Neyland because it just hadn't been that big. We got about 60 seconds left. Just give us a quick flyover.
Yeah, it's a little different when you put on the reporter hat like I've had on for the past 15 years. But, yeah, I certainly think we're tapped in enough with fans on our message board to understand it. But it is weird because we've grown up seeing, when I was in college, Tennessee went to two SEC championship games when I was in school, and they haven't been back since then. So it's just a different time. Like you said, the crowds, and part of this is fans not going to games as much, but it's also been the lack of success. Very few sellouts these days. They're trying to get back to that, but it's obviously been a strange era, strange past 12 or 13 years at this point, and they've got a long way to go to still get back to that, what we're used to seeing 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, I think the last game I went to was the Oregon game, and yeah. A buddy of mine in the pro, he's like, don't come back. I said, the weather or the score? He's like, both. Just don't come back. So, Ryan, appreciate your time, brother. Thank you for coming on today.
Anytime. Thank you.
All right, Ryan Callahan again, Go Vols 24/7. That was the game that got, Tennessee came out playing pretty well, and then the weather took over, and then the Ducks took over.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.